Hello, Park Street. Welcome back. Today is day 29 of Lent, and today I am here with Andrew and Joanne Eads. Thanks, guys, for recording with me.
Yeah, for sure.
Can you guys give a brief recap of how you got to Ashland, how you got involved at Park Street, and how you kind of plug into the church?
Yeah, sure. Well, I mean, believe it or not, we came to Ashland for jobs. Like, I got married right out of college, basically, and Joanne had a job over at Crestview High School, and I had a job at Spire, so we landed here in Ashland.
Yeah. So we've been in Ashland for 8 years, and at Park Street, probably 7.5 years.
Yeah. Yeah, man. And I think they just kind of basically got me roped in pretty quick with music, so we ended up sticking around there for a while. That's kind of how it...
Yeah, and you play a variety of instruments.
Yeah, we'll just leave it a variety.
You played electric on Sunday. I liked it. I did not mention that to you until now, but I did like it.
Thank you. Yeah.
And you play bass and keyboard and I guess all kinds of things.
Yeah.
Acoustic.
Whatever you need.
Whatever you need. Cool. Well, thanks guys for recording. Today's passage is John chapter 14. Verses 15 through 31, and Joanne has volunteered to go ahead and read, so I turn it over to you.
All right. If you love me, you will obey what I command, and I will ask the Father, and he will give you another counselor to be with you forever, the Spirit of Truth. The world cannot accept him because it neither sees him nor knows him, but you know him, for he lives with you and will be in you. I will not leave you as orphans. I will come to you. Before long, the world will not see me anymore, but you will see me. Because I live, you also will live. On that day, you will realize that I am in my Father, and you are in me, and I am in you. Whoever has my commands and obeys them, he is the one who loves me. He who loves me will be loved by my Father, and I too will love him and show myself to him. Then Judas, not Judas Iscariot, said, "But Lord, why do you intend to show yourself to us and not to the world?" Jesus replied, "If anyone loves me, he will obey my teaching. My Father will love him, and we will come to him and make our home with him. He who does not love me will not obey my teaching. These words you hear are not my own. They belong to the Father who sent me. All this I have spoken while still with you. But the Counselor, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, will teach you all things and will remind you of everything I have said to you. Peace I leave with you, my peace I give you. I do not give to you as the world gives. Do not let your hearts be troubled, and do not be afraid. You heard me say, I am going away, and I am coming back to you. If you loved me, you would be glad that I am going to the Father, for the Father is greater than I. I have told you now before it happens, so that when it does happen, you will believe. I will not speak with you much longer, for the prince of this world is coming. He has no hold on me, but the world must learn that I love the Father and that I do exactly what my Father has commanded me. Come now, let us leave."
All right, thank you, Joanne. When we read through this passage, we're kind of in a section now. I'm going to quote Dale Stoffer because he's a good guy to quote. He called this in our episode that we recorded, he called this the Upper Room Discourse. So John chapter 12 concludes Jesus's public ministry, and then John chapter 13 through 17 really is Jesus conversing with his disciples right before he's arrested. And so this whole section is a lot of red letters, you know, in those types of Bibles where it's really the words of Jesus to his followers, his closest followers, before he is turned over to the authorities and subsequently killed. So it's a section of kind of just this very intimate conversation. I mean, you could imagine, you know, if you knew that your time on earth was growing short, you would, you know, the things you would choose your words really carefully, right? I mean, what would be the things you'd tell your kids if you knew that these were the last things you were going to tell them? And so it's a very kind of intimate passage. But do you guys, as you read through this, you know, are there portions of it that you find confusing or that you find difficult or that you find specifically applicable to us as a church?
Yeah. I mean, there's a lot here. I mean, even in this little passage, what, 16 verses or whatever, but there's that little section in there particularly that Judas says to Jesus, Lord, how is it that you'll reveal yourself to us and not to the world? And I was kind of like, huh, that is interesting. Like, why in the world, why does Jesus just say, okay, like, just to you guys, you specifically? I think maybe for them, they're thinking like, well, Jesus, you're not being the Messiah that we thought that you were going to be, like, you know, come over and take over the world. But it's just interesting, like, okay, well, yeah, Jesus isn't proclaiming himself to the entire world at this point, so he's kind of leaving it up to other people to do that, right?
Yeah. So. Yeah. No, it's an interesting question. Like, why don't you just make this obvious, right? To everybody?
Yeah. I mean, even they have, like, questions as they go, but, you know, I mean, reading everything in context, but, yeah, what's going on? Why just us?
It's like he's really honing in on his disciples in this part.
Yeah.
He's really showing that ultimate love to them so that they will go out, maybe, mm-hmm. and do that.
Yeah, and the whole section, he comes back to this idea of obeying my commands. You know, the mm-hmm. first verse is, if you love me, obey my commandments. And then, you know, after, it's interesting, his answer to that question you brought up, Andrew, is, all who love me will do what I say. So it's essentially a reinforcing of the thing he started with. You know, it's like, mm-hmm. there's this interesting, I feel like Jesus is kind of saying, right, like, I will reveal myself, like, if you obey me, like, if you love me, you'll obey me, and if you obey me, then I reveal more of myself to you, right. You know?
Yeah.
There's, like, it's not, there is an invitation to come and kind of become like Jesus, you know?
Mm-hmm.
And to really listen to what he says, and I guess throughout the whole book, especially the middle part, there's constant conflict between, you know, the religious leaders and Jesus, and they're wondering, you know, if you're the Messiah, tell us plainly, right? And he's made claims to being the Messiah like 10, 15, 20 times, sure, right, through the yeah. book. And they're like, just tell us. And he's like, I've told you.
Yeah.
Look. You just aren't listening. And you're not right. You're not listening to my teaching, and you're not obeying it. And you're not willing to obey it.
Right. Yeah.
And that to me is kind of scary because obedience is hard, you know? And like,
it is hard, and it feels pretty exclusive too, right? Like, and I think when you think of Christianity a lot, or especially these days, it's like exclusivity is kind of scorned or something. You know, like, oh well, we can't. It's almost like you're judging people if they are falling outside of are you doing what Jesus commanded you? Are you loving God how he's asking you to? And if not, then, you know, then what? And it's like, well, I don't know. But he's saying, keep my commandments, love me, be part of me. Then I'm going to keep revealing myself to you, which is pretty cool. And so the scary thing is, yeah, if you're not tapped into that, and if you're not holding up to that, then I don't know if the Spirit, like, leaves you, but, you know, you don't necessarily get the get the revelations, I suppose, or have that, you know, have that constant just coming with God, where he's helping, like, advise you and everything as you go along your life.
Well, I do find the it says, you know, like, if then statements are kind of cool, because it's like, if part A is true, then part B has to be true, you know, like, if you love me, obey my commandments. And then he also says the opposite in verse 24, which is part of this question, the answer to the question you brought up, Andrew, which is, says, if you love me, you'll obey. Anyone who doesn't love me will not obey.
Mm-hmm.
Right? And it is kind of this exclusive thing, right? Like, you either choose to obey or you obey. I don't know, however you want to use language around
sure.
choosing versus not choosing. Okay. Yeah. So, but if you love God, right, if you love Christ, you'll obey him. And if you don't love God, you will not obey. So there's really not a lot of ambiguity there, right?
Yeah. Which I don't think that America likes.
Yeah, I don't think. I mean, people like to be able to keep the control of selectively deciding, keeping their cards close to the vest and saying, you know, I'm not going to obey until I find out if it's going to work out. Or, you know, if it's like, I'm not going to, because that's how most of our lives work, right? It's like, if you want to buy a product, there's usually like a money back kind of guarantee or something with it. You know, it's like, I don't know that God really works that way. It's like, he's like, no, you're going to obey me. And then, you know, how does he word it in here? He says, all who love me will do what I say. My Father will love them, and we will come and make our home with each of them. Right? It's like, you have to obey me first, and then you get kind of the understanding. Or you have to trust that if you obey me, then there'll be more understanding after that. You know? Yeah. Which is kind of like, that's risky. You don't know if it's going to work out. If like, well, if I obey God, is it going to work out well or not? I don't know. Yeah. And,
well, yeah, and he's not necessarily promising riches or anything like that. He's just like, all he's saying here is, hey, if you wanna be in community with me, you're gonna love me. I'm gonna reveal myself to you, you know, through my word, however it is, I'm gonna reveal myself to you because you're obeying and you're doing what I've asked you to do. So good job, and here's more, you know, keep going.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
But yet, do you think that when the disciples were hearing this, that obeying commandments, did that seem simpler to them than the law and what they were used to with Jewish practices? Because if you look, I guess, back in 13, the new commandment, love one another seems like a simple thing to do, right? And it's not like Jesus was giving a lot of rules and do this, right, to get God, earn God's favor. So do you think they were feeling a little less pressure? Like, oh, we just have to love.
Well, yeah, because doesn't he, he's like, listen, all this stuff, all the law and the prophets can be summed up. I mean, it's not in this passage, but like, it can all be summed up. You know, love your neighbor, or love your Lord your God, and love your neighbor. Like, these are some basic, seemingly basic things.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm looking back at what you were saying, Joanne. So 13:34 says, so now I'm giving you a new commandment, love each other. Which sounds great, right? Like, that's something, I mean, I think most people, you know, kids these days, right? They kind of understand that love is like, even if you're not a Christian, right? Some people, you know, non-Christians still have a very clear understanding, right? That like, there's some kind of love at the center of the universe, or that the world will go better if we love each other, right? Like, yeah, that's not hyper-controversial, like you're saying. Like, it seems easy. But the next sentence is, just as I have loved you, you should love each other. And, like, that's the last thing he's saying before he's going to die. Yeah. And it's like, we kind of have the idea that if we wish other people well in a general way, that that's love. And Jesus kind of, like, takes that and, like, turns it to 11, you know, on the amplifier.
That's good.
And it's like, no, you can't just like hope that everything works out for people. Like, you have to like actively sacrifice for them to like the way I do it.
Yeah.
And it's like, oh, that kind of sucks. Like, I don't want to do that. You know, like, and that's where it's like, it is kind of, you know, the idea of love is great, but the act of love is hard.
Yeah.
And it's simple to understand. Like, we do this for, you know, people we love, right? You love your kids. So you go to work every day, you make them food, you make sure their lives are taken care of, right? And you do that because you love them, right? Like, it's not like a thing that you think, oh man, these kids, they're just ruining everything. It's right. Like, no, it's natural to do that because you want to show them your love.
Yeah.
But with, you know, the more you expand that, right? Like, you could do that for your, you know, three kids, and it's tiring and exhausting and hard work, and then you expand that out to maybe your other family and in-laws, and okay, it gets a little harder, and friends, and then the world, and then people you don't like, right? And it's like, the more you do that, the more you're like, oh man, this is getting to be a lot. I don't know if I can do this, you know?
Yeah, but that's why, I mean, if you keep going, then hopefully to them it seemed comforting to be receiving the Holy Spirit, the counselor, right? We cannot do this on our own. Or we cannot even comprehend what Jesus is talking about without him leaving, so that we get the Holy Spirit, right, to come.
Yeah, thankfully we've got that context, right, of, okay, we we understand a little bit more than the disciples would have in this particular instance. And they, you know, obviously there's concern here because people, you know, maybe Jesus even confronts it head on, saying, you know, I'm saying these things to like comfort you and all this. So they must have been pretty stressed out. Or they've got Jesus there with them, and he's like, well, I'm going to go away. And, well, that would be kind of scary for them. But he knows, and we know, he's trying to reveal himself in different ways. I mean, that could be applicable in today's world of, like, well, I mean, Jesus shows up in different ways to us at different times, probably. And maybe when we feel like, I mean, the Spirit's led us in some direction, we followed that, and then all of a sudden something moves, something else is revealed, and we head a different direction. And those things can be scary, and maybe you don't anticipate them in the moment, but...
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, those are good points, and I like what you said specifically, Joanne, about the Holy Spirit, because it's like, okay, verse 15, if you love me, obey my commands, right? That's the opening, like... do this.
Yeah.
And then he goes on to explain, right? Like, I will give you an advocate who will never leave you. He's the Holy Spirit. The world cannot receive him because it isn't looking for him and doesn't recognize him. And also, the world doesn't obey me or keep my commands, so
mm-hmm.
they're not going to receive the Spirit. I won't abandon you as orphans, right? Like, when I'm raised to life again, you'll know that I am in my Father and you are in me and I'm in you. Like, I'm going to be with you the entire way, right? Like, I'm going to give you the power to do this life. The things that I'm asking you to do are really, like,
yeah.
It's not, like, first grade math. You know what I'm saying? Like, it's hard stuff.
Yeah.
But I'm going to actually, like, I'm serious about it, you know? And I'm going to help you. And I'm going to be with you and help and give you the power to live like this.
Right.
Right.
Which
yeah,
is
that,
awesome.
Yeah, that advocate or that helper is also known as, like, a paraclete. Is like the
yeah.
terminology, right? Which is helper or one who appears on another's behalf. So Jesus being the paraclete or the Holy Spirit being the paraclete from the Father, like I'm coming to you as one who appears on behalf of God. Like I'm in your presence now. I'm helping you.
yeah. And I think for me, it's like all I've really ever needed to follow Christ is very little like general willingness to be like, God, can you help me do this? Like, I kind of think I want to, like, but I don't know if I can, you know, like, will you help? You know, it's like, and I think God honors that. Like, I think all he wants is just a little bit, right? And then he's going to, you know, like, I think it's Revelation, which is also coincidentally written by John, but he's, you know, like, behold, I stand at the door and knock, right? And if you let me in, like, I'll come in and eat with you. And the idea is like, okay, like, Jesus is knocking, and this is so interesting about that passage, is writing it to, like, the churches, not to the unbelievers, but to the churches to say, like, I want to come in to
yeah.
you.
Hello.
And it's like, I open the door, and it's like, it's one of those, like, scenes in a movie where you, like, move the, you know, or, like, in a hotel room where you have a little,
yeah,
the people thing. You're like, who's out there? It's like, you, like, open it, like, 2 inches, and then, like, you know.
Yeah.
Right.
I think God just wants a little bit of an entry point, you know, and I feel like if you give him a little bit, he's gonna, like, wedge his way in, and he's gonna keep, you know, expanding, right, over time.
Yeah.
And that to me is gives me a lot of hope. It's like, how can I do all this hard stuff? It's like, God's like, no, I can, like, I'm gonna help you. Like,
mm-hmm.
this is not you on your own. Like, I will not leave you as orphans, right? He says,
mm-hmm.
you know, this isn't you on your own making this happen. It's a relational thing that we have together that is gonna change
yeah.
you know,
right.
everything.
Yeah.
I think I've heard that multiple times, is just God saying, keep being faithful, just keep being faithful as you are. You know, I can't say that I've experienced any crazy suffering or hardship, but no matter what, you know, if I'm asking God, what's next or what do I do, just
mm-hmm.
that little step of faith at a time and just keep persisting in that.
I was going to say, oh, and I love how Jesus too, throughout this whole passage, it's almost like when Jesus gives a command, he goes over and above to try to explain the context of it and say, like, okay, all right, I said this thing. It sounds kind of crazy. Here's how it's going to work, you know? Verse 24, he says, anyone who doesn't love me will not obey me. And remember, my words are not my own. What I'm telling you is from the Father who sent me. It's like, okay, I know I said that thing. That sounds harsh. That sounds like it's, you know, kind of crazy. Like, remember, this is God speaking, you know?
Right.
So if you find something that you find, if I say something that you don't quite understand or that is opposite to how you think it should go, right, at least be open to the fact that your perspective isn't fully there, or that I see something you don't see, or that you're not seeing the entire truth, or whatever it is, right? Like, keep an open mind to things that sound scary or different, right? You know?
Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
So it's like, he knows these guys, like, and the thing is, he knows they're about ready to just, like, turn and run, like, you know? Yeah. He's gonna get arrested, and they're all gonna scatter, and he's like... Sure. He knows their weakness, and he knows their inability to do all this stuff. Right. So, I mean, I really find that comforting. You know, it's like, because I feel like, how can I can't do this. This sounds too hard.
Yeah.
And even in this chapter alone, he, at the beginning, whatever last podcast, the Do Not Let Your Hearts Be Troubled, was the beginning of chapter 14. And now at the end, towards the end... He repeats that to them.
Yeah, verse 27.
Yeah.
I'm leaving you with a gift, peace of mind and heart. And the peace I give is a gift the world cannot give. So don't be troubled or afraid. That's right. What NLT says. It
says that twice. Right. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That peace, that's one of my questions, is what is the difference between the world's peace? What does that look like? Versus this peace that comes from,
like, I don't give you the peace God. Of the world. I give you the peace of, like, I give you a different kind of peace.
Yeah, a different quality. You know, like, he's saying, I can give you something that no one else can give you. Mm-hmm. I actually can give you the power to live like this, you know, and you're not going to find that anywhere else. And that's the other side. If you, you know, as I just kind of say that, there's all these claims throughout John where Jesus says, you know, like, I'm the bread of life. I'm the resurrection and the life. You know, anyone who is thirsty, come to me and drink, right? There's all these claims of, like, look, I have the power to give you the kind of spirit that can actually, that can do this, and I'm the only person who can do that. No one else can, you know? And it's like, whoa. You know, people are like, who do you think you are? Who is this dude? Like, what is he, what's he saying? It's like, no, like, I can actually give you, it's true, I can give you this. You know, I can give you a spirit that's going to make this happen.
Right.
Just like, okay. Let's see.
Wow.
You know?
And they saw the miracles. So yeah. Well, those that chose that was enough, or even believed before seeing miracles.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah. Well, and the other cool thing, and a lot of people didn't believe the miracles. You know, like it says, there's a whole section before this couple days ago we talked, it says, despite all the miracles, despite everything that happened, most people didn't believe.
Were they?
And then some people did, but they didn't really. Yeah, some people did, but they didn't really want to be public about it because they were afraid of the Jewish leaders.
Yeah.
And it's like, yeah, like most people didn't get it, and most of us don't get it, and I don't get it, and most of the people at Park Street probably don't get it on a daily basis. It's like, you know, but that's what makes it so much more amazing to come back to, and to reevaluate and say, whoa, Jesus is really, like, he's really serious, and he's willing to back up his words, you know?
Mm-hmm.
Which is another funny, awesome thing, I guess, the way this ends, right? So he's been saying, obey me, obey me, obey me. And then, verse 30, I don't have much more time to talk to you because the ruler of this world approaches.
Yeah.
He has no power over me, but I will do what the Father requires. Like, I'm going to obey.
Yeah.
I'm going to go to the cross, which is where God has, you know, has told me I need to go.
Yeah.
Right? Like, I'm going to model this for you, and I'm going to do it for you.
Yes.
Which is like such an awesome way to just, you know, right. It's like if you have problems with obedience, which, or authority figures, or doing what you're told, right? Like, I've had issues like that. it's like, look at Jesus, man. The guy walks it, you know, like he does what he says.
Mm-hmm.
And he says, it's worded a little bit differently. You know, I'll do what the Father requires of me, but like he's going to obey.
Mm-hmm.
And he's not gonna say this is dumb or I'm not gonna trust you. Like he's gonna, and it's gonna,
yes.
it's gonna be awful, and he's gonna do it. You know.
Right. Yeah. Yeah. He's obeying. He's loving. And the interesting part to me throughout that whole thing is that he's saying, the prince of the world has no power over me, or the rule of the world has no power over me. Death has no power over me, or Satan, the devil, has no, he has nothing on me. I'm sinless, so he doesn't have that on me. I don't have any shame. I don't have any guilt or fear. You know, none of that. I'm doing this because I'm choosing to, and because that's what God wants me to do for you, by the way.
Yeah.
You know?
Well, and then also, how much of what you just said is also true of us, right? Like, when we accept Christ, right, the same things that were true of God, right, that Satan has no power or authority over him,
mm-hmm.
That he has no shame, or he has mm-hmm. the full ability right. to obey, right? Like, that becomes true of us, right? God gives us that. He says, like, you can do this. Like, you don't have to worry about anything else, you know? Mm-hmm. Just trust me and obey, right? Isn't there, you guys want to sing, like, 3-4? Because I don't. but, you know, like, they've written songs about this, right? Songs that have, you know, been sung for hundreds of years, you know? It's right. like...
And that's what I mean, the entire thing that we just read is all about.
Yeah.
Trust me, obey me, love me. I'm going to keep revealing myself to you. And as part of that, you're allowing your own life to be transformed, and you're allowing your own life to say, hey, you know, banish this fear from within me, because I've had this spirit who's revealed himself throughout history, like to, you know, Abraham, to Moses, all these people. And he's revealing himself to you too. So like, hopefully we should be able to say, you know, I don't have fear there. I don't have guilt, because I'm, my identity is in Christ.
Yeah.
And,
mm-hmm.
Yeah. We don't have to move. We don't have to like, you know, like when I get Reagan up for school, right. It's like, I don't want, you know, like she's like, I want to stay in bed. I don't want to go do that. You know, like that's not how we don't have to act like that when it comes to following Christ. Right. Like, it's like, we have the power and the authority to do what Christ asks us to do, and he's promised to help us with it, which is
yeah.
super cool. And it's, he's already done the work.
Yeah, for I think us. It's easy to read. I think the challenging part comes out when it's time to live it out.
Oh yeah.
So, you know, if you're confronted with something, like, okay, I'm confronted with a life and death situation, like, let's just go to that extreme, because this is where Jesus is at right now. How do you choose that unless you're staring it in the face and you're like, all right, no, I'm not afraid of this, or like, no, I don't care. Like, this is, I still have to do this thing because I'm living out love of Christ.
Well, and I think if you look at the disciples, right? They all failed that test pretty bad the first go around. And then after Jesus was resurrected, right? And they realized, they finally understood, right? Then
right.
all of them did obey that. You know, like the first time it was a lot of fear, and the second time though, most of the disciples were killed for their faith, right? So,
right.
I mean, they had the ability to do it somehow.
Right.
Like, it sounds impossible. Like, I don't know, there's no way, right? Like, I don't think there could be, but yet God, you know, they did it, and they were people, you know, they were just people
mm-hmm.
like us. They were, you know, they weren't
the Holy Spirit.
Right. They were no different than us in the sense of they were people that loved Jesus and followed him, and God gave him the Spirit he promised them, just like he gives us the Spirit he promises us. So it's like, it sounds crazy. It's like, yeah, I don't know that I would ever be able to handle that type of situation, but, you know, who knows?
But yeah, and you probably, there's probably ratcheting up too. I doubt that. I think God would hopefully be gracious and be like, okay, well, you know, I'm going to help you like learn things along the way. I'm going to give you like throw you little bones here and there to, give you opportunity to keep growing. And hopefully it doesn't completely throw you the fire on day one.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
It's like, here you go.
Right. Yeah. The very last thing of this book is where, you know, Jesus has a conversation with Peter, right? Peter's about ready to deny him three times, and he has a conversation with Peter about, you know, do you love me? Do you love me?
Mm-hmm.
And I think that's how it worked with all of the disciples, how it works with us, right? There are, it's a slow but yet steady and consistent process of growth, right? For a long time until, and if you keep growing, if you keep obeying, if you keep following, if you keep trusting for long enough, you know, who knows where that can end up? It could end up being something crazy, you know, mm-hmm. like, Nate's always talking about Eugene Peterson because he loves Eugene Peterson, the long obedience in the same direction.
Right.
If you do that, right, and it doesn't happen overnight, but if you do it long enough, right?
Right.
You know, things will change. Things can change. So, well, guys, I appreciate your insights and your willingness to record this episode with me. Thanks, everybody, for listening, and we will be back soon with another episode. Thanks.